deals with the spirit, the soul, and the body. And it deals with being born again, being converted, and then do something with the flesh, called presented a living sacrifice unto God. And I want us to use for a scripture tonight in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, and verse 19. Repent ye, therefore, and that "and" there means something else, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you. I want you to notice here, repent. Then what? Be converted. We're going to get into what conversion is. Now, if we repented, then of course we've fixed it with God. But if we're converted, it's more about conversion than that for the mind or the soul. And then we find that the flesh, Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2 said, "Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Transformed. I want you to notice that word transform. By the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In St. John chapter 3, born again. We know that Nicodemus said, "How can a man enter back into his mother's womb and be born again?" But he wasn't talking about the flesh. He was talking about the spirit man. It's the spirit man that's born again. Then it's the soulish man that gets converted. I want to get that there. Then it's the flesh that presents its body a living sacrifice unto God, which is a reasonable service. And when we get these three lined up, and get them down to the business where we need to be with God, people's not going to have no trouble living for God. They're going to be sold out to God. So let's go a little further with this. We're talking about converted. Now I want you to notice he mentions that here. Repent ye therefore, and what? And be converted, that your sin may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing. How many knows what a time of refreshing is? We had one here the other night, didn't we? A time of refreshing. People were shouting, rejoicing. It was a time of refreshing. But all of the sin has to be blotted out of our soul, or we can't receive that. Be converted, that's what? That your sins may be blotted out when? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. You know, we may come to church two or three times and not have a time of refreshing. But after a while, it's going to come along, and we can be ready for it. How many ever looked in, I don't know, you don't look through the eyes like the preacher does from the platform, but many times you'll look and see one or two that's ready for the refreshing, and the others just sit there and say, "I don't feel a thing." I'll tell you, that's a sad situation when you're in a time of refreshing, and you can't feel nothing. And you just can't feel nothing. So let's turn our Bibles to another scripture or two. So we have to do something to come to this place. I'd like to turn to Matthew's Gospel and chapter 18 and verse 3. There's a lot in the Bible about converted, but I don't know, hear nobody preaching on it, but there's a lot in it, and I get a lot out of it. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18 and verse 3, he said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you be converted." How many sees that? "Except you be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Now, except we be converted. And become as what? That didn't say become as teenagers, did it? It didn't say to become as one 19 years old, 15 years old. It said little children. What is little children? How many knows that if you handle them right, they'll mind when they're little bitty. But when they're 15, they need to come back like there was when there was two or three, and be as little children. And here's what happens to us when we're converted. Except you be converted, you have to be converted. We'll get into that, what it is, in a minute. Converted and become as a little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So now let's go to some more scriptures here and get into this pretty strongly here, but not near as strong as I'd like to, because I don't want to mess your mind up. I'd like to turn our Bibles to Psalms 19 and verse 7. Psalms 19 and verse 7. And it says in Psalms 19 and verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect. How many knows the law of the Lord is perfect? It's His word. How many knows what the law of the Lord is? It's His word. It's perfect. And what does it do? What's the next words? Let's all say that together. Converting the what? The soul. So the law of the Lord, which is the word of God. Now, James puts it in like this. I believe it's James chapter 1, verse 22. He said, receive ye the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. In other words, convert your soul. Now, notice here, he's talking here, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So the law of the Lord, this word of God, is what? What's it tell it is? It's perfect. It's not imperfect. We've got something to walk by that's perfect. And what does it do? What does it do for the soul? It what? Converts the soul. Converts. Now, I've had some experience with different things like, you say people got converted. Well, when they're converted, they'll do something, and we'll get into that just a little bit. When we're converted, we do different than most Christians do today, even, when you're converted. But we're going to get into some strength in this meet here tonight. Psalms chapter 51 and verse 12, David had really got into some sin. And now he's talking about conversion. And he's talking about things here that he wanted to talk about and needed to talk about. He stayed back from the battlefield and sent all of his troops into the battlefield, and his next door neighbor, his wife, was over there in the next door, of course. To make a long story short, he committed adultery with this woman, and to hide it all, he got her husband killed in the battle. But you see, he was able to still yet get converted back. There is no sin that's too mean and too bad that we can't get converted. Now, David talks about this here, if we can understand it. Psalms 51:12, he writes this, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Now he's talking to God, he's wanting to get back. Restore unto me restoration. I'd like to preach about an hour on restitution and restoration. You see, I hear a lot of people talking about different things, but I don't hear too many people talk about restitution. I heard a fellow when I first got saved one time, and he talked about restitution. And he said when he got saved, he had stole a fellow's log chain, you know, that boomed the logs down. And he said he got saved. And he said he could never quit seeing that log chain until he went to that man and took that log chain back. And then he got the victory. How many knows what he done? There's a simple way of putting it. He restored this and had restitution. How many people today have restitution? We cannot have what I'm taught. We can't be converted and not have restitution. Now, if he didn't have the chain, he should have went also and said, I want you to forgive me of this. So this is called restitution. And David says, restore, or I'm hunting restitution. Restore unto me. Now, listen to what he says he'll do. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 31. Then, now here's what he said, then I'll do something. I'll do your work. I'll do what you want me to do. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What did he say? Restore unto me, if you'll just restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. He said, I'll teach transgressors your way. And sinners will be what? Shall be converted unto thee. He said, things are going to happen if you'll do your part. Now, here's what I'm asking this congregation to do. Help me preach this message in this community. Huh? Help me and the way that we preach this message, we do what the Word of God said, because He said, the law of the Lord is perfect. So who wouldn't want to do something perfect? And there's this golden rule in this thing, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Not do to them what they do to you. If you start doing to others like they do to you, you're going to really get yourself in a big mess. because there's people's going to do things against you. They're going to hurt you. They're going to do everything. I can't imagine anybody that has a campaign of keeping people out of church. I know folks that's got a campaign getting people in church, but I know some, too, that has a campaign getting people out of church. Don't go here. Don't go there. Look out. That's campaigning against God. I can't imagine. You know, I could see people get tangled up in talking, just talking with each other. It starts out with idle talk. And after a while, it begins to be serious talk. And after a while, it begins to, I'll tell you what it's called. It's called gossip. After a while, it begins to be a joy to them. Pretty soon they say, "Have you heard this one? Did you know what old so-and-so done?" And it begins to be a joyous occasion to them to break the news to someone else about someone else. Now, I'm going to tell you what, that's not a converted Christian. If there's anybody here that does that, you need to get down to business with God and get converted, and then you can run over to somebody and say, "Do you know the Lord? Are you ready to meet God? Come on and let's go to church." I was glad David said after that, when they said unto me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." I'll tell you, we need to be glad when we say, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." Somebody said these things you're talking about is just little things. Well, let me tell you, turn your Bible to Song of Solomon 2:15, and it tells you simply this: "Take ye the little foxes, for it is the little foxes that spoil the vine." This young man here came here tonight and asked me a question, and somebody was trying to mess with his mind, his soul, trying to get him confused about the Holy Ghost instead of trying to get him filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, people that sit around and do things like that, there's something wrong. Listen what he says: "Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee." So I'd like to turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 22 and verse 31 and verse 32 we'll read. How many members? It's over in Matthew, the 16th chapter. It's recorded like this. Jesus came to his disciples one day and said, "Who do men say that I am?" He said, "Some say that you're John the Baptist, some say that you're Elias, and some say that you're one of the prophets." But he said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "I say that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." And he said, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And I'll read what Luke said. I like it just as good as I do Matthew. I just happen to be on that one. And it says, Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and verse 32. "And the Lord said to Simon," now here's what he said after that, what I just said, "Behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he might sift you at the wheat." And how many knows Peter had a hard time because Satan desired to have him. And he had him nailed down in a lot of things. Then verse 32 said, "But I have prayed for thee, that the faith fail not, and when thou art," what? "Converted, strengthen thy brethren." Now here's a man that had been following Jesus around all this time, 2 or 3 years. And Jesus comes to him and said, "Who do people say I am?" Some say that you're John the Baptist, one of the prophets, all this. He said, "Who do you say I am?" Peter spoke up, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Now flesh and blood hasn't shown this to you, but my Father which is in heaven." You got that. I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom. I'm going to give you the keys. And what you bind on earth is going to be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth is going to be loosed in heaven. Church, we're going to have to get to the place we got to bind a few things and loose a few things. There's people that comes to this church that needs to be loosed, and there's some that maybe need to be bound. At least their tongue. And there's a whole lot of folks in this community that needs to get their tongue straightened out. In this community, they talk about things they don't know what they're talking about. But you know what? If we just get right down to business and do just what I'm preaching here tonight, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." He'll send Jesus, and you'll have company with Jesus. You'll talk with Jesus. You'll feel the presence of Jesus. You'll walk with Jesus. And these disciples said, did not our hearts burn within us as we walked and talked with him along the way? I'll tell you, I like to feel my heart burn within me because I'm walking with him. I'm talking with him along the way. So back to Luke 22:31-32. Simon, Simon, Satan had desired to have thee that he should sift thee as the wheat. Verse 32. And I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen. I want you to get this. Strengthen thy brother. Now, I'll leave it up to you. What is it that will strengthen your brother? What is it that will weaken your brother? Idle talk will weaken him. Telling something that somebody else done to them don't help them. That weakens them because they got that on their mind. And we can go around for a week, and after a while, we've got a whole head full of stuff that we don't need to have in there. Turn your Bibles back to Romans 12 and 1 and 2 again. Thanks be to God, we've got a way to clean it out. What does it say? I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. Let's all read it out loud. That you present what? Your body. How many knows that this means all of your body? Your head, your ears, your eyes, your tongue, that you present your body, what? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. These things I'm talking about is things that Christians are doing that's worldly. We've all preached about don't go to the honky-tonk. Well, everybody surely ought to know that by now. We all preach don't drink whiskey, don't cuss. But here's some things that'll do just the same thing. It'll short-circuit your experience with God. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing. How many knows what a renewing is? That means it's a new mind. You know, I wish everybody could just walk in my shoes a week, huh? You do. You walk right with me. It's somebody calling this, and somebody calling like this, and somebody calling about that, and somebody about this, and so we'll come over here and do this, and come over here and do that. And all those things in your mind, you know what? I have to find myself a place to clean this out, and I have to find my prayer closet and get my head cleaned out and restored to where I can receive the things of God. Well, I have to do these things because of the position I am in with God. And I'll tell you what the scripture said. God really dealt with me on that the other day. Many are called, but few are chosen. And he really began to explain that to me. There's many that's called. All kinds of preachers are called. But there's very few of them chosen. What are they chosen? To go into the higher realm. Not to dabble around here with this. Huh? God help a preacher that plays petty party on his congregation. Huh? I know preachers over the country, pastors, they always have a petty party at their congregation. If a preacher ain't big enough to take it, he needs to get out of the pulpit and go get him a job. Huh? Come on. I have to take it because God spoke to my heart and said, you're chosen long ago. And he reaffirmed that over and over. And just the other day, he reaffirmed that again very strongly with a brand new something in my, I don't know what it was, but something entered inside of me that chosen. Chosen for what? Chosen to lead, to guide, to teach, to preach, to lay hands on the sick, to cast out devils, to speak with new tongues. These things were chosen. We're chosen. Chosen vessels of God. That's why he said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Can you see this right now? That repent. What does repent mean? Everybody knows what repent means. I'm sure you all do. Huh? Turn around. Go the other way. Don't dabble. Turn around. Go the other way. There's things that I run from. But it ain't the devil. Sometimes I run from what people say. I don't want to hear it. Sometimes I have to listen to what they say because it involves two parties that I'm responsible for. That's a shame, but it's that way. But chosen vessel to do the work of God. Now, in this church right here, somebody said just a few here. There's just enough right here to turn this whole county upside down if we'll get at it. If we'll get at it. If we'll begin to realize what God can use us doing. and how we can stop the mouths of lions, that we can slay the giants, that we can overcome with Jesus Christ. There's nothing impossible with Him. He's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we ask or think. Ephesians 3:20 said, above all we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Now, there's no telling where you can go with God if we'll just settle down, get ourselves down to business with God, and repent. We have to keep ourselves repenting. Repent and be what? And be converted. How many knows what converted is? You know, they can convert different electrical equipment and convert this and convert that. And it does something. I don't know how to do all that, but I've read a little bit on it. But there's three phases of this. Born again. What did Jesus say in John chapter 3? St. John 3. You must, that's a must. You must be born again. You can't be born again until you repent. How many knows that? Person can't be born again. You know, they've got all this kind of stuff going in church. Shake the preacher's hand, sign the book, and you're in. I say three strikes and you're out. Even if you're in, you're in the church. We got to do this thing right. There's a right way and there is a wrong way. And there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I don't want to walk the ways of death. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is what? Is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and it is peace. I don't want anybody messing with my mind till I get carnal minded. And then I want to do what the flesh wants to do. Converted. Strengthen thy brethren. Now James has something to say about this. And let's go to James chapter 5. How many ever heard a message on converting? Anybody? Wonder why? Because it's not popular in our time. Is that right? It's not popular. I don't care why it's popular or not. It's the truth. And John 8:32 said, you'll know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Romans chapter 10, verse 15, 16, long in there. He said, how can you hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except to be sent? I'm here to fix it where you can hear the truth and you'll know the truth and the truth shall make you free. It makes you free. I don't want to see people bound. I don't care who it is. Don't want to see them bound. I don't want to see nobody go to hell, but I have to preach the truth. So James chapter 5 and verse 19 says, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth. Now here's where you come in. Anybody errs from the truth. And one convert him. So somebody, you can convert somebody. How can you convert them? By telling them the truth. By praying with them. Telling them the truth. Brethren, if any man of you hear from the truth, and can one convert him. If one person gets a, see, one person can convert them. How do you convert them? Tell them the truth. Because what they hear from? From the truth. Huh? When you hear from the truth, somebody has to get a hold of it. You've lost the way. Well, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. John 14:6. No man comes to the Father but by me. So here we are. Brethren, if any man do err from the truth, and one convert him. James 5:20 says, the next verse, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sin. I'm going to tell you, you folks that's sitting right here tonight, you've got more opportunity to preach to the people in this community than I'll ever have. Right? You're going to see people that's not going to talk to me. They're going to talk to you about me. Somebody said, well, let me tell you something. It's always that way. People wants to attack success. Huh? You look at your politics. They're attacking success now. People that's got the country $16 trillion and $17 trillion in debt attacking somebody that's a success in business. I think they better keep their mouth shut. Huh? You take somebody really living for God and they're going to attack him. Somebody said, have you got a good example of that? What'd they do with Jesus? They said, he's got to go. He has to die. He has to die. Well, we have to die too. But see, it is, today, it's not that we're crucified on a cross, but we have to present our body, what? A living, what? Sacrifice. We have to live for God in spite of what everybody's saying, what everybody's doing. You know, it doesn't make any difference what people say. It doesn't make anything a difference what people think. But what I'm saying, when you're converted, it's converted. The soul is converted. That's the mind. So when the soul's converted, how do you think a converted soul would think? Huh? A converted soul. How do you think he'd think? Well, I'll just turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, and let's see how a converted soul would think. When thou art converted, what? Strengthen thy brother. If he's struggling, strengthen him. Don't give him some poison to push him down. Huh? Amen? If you're dealing with somebody that's bad to carry tails and all that, starve them out. Don't give them anything. That thing will die in them. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. How we think. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever thing is honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. See, when our mind is converted, we think on these things. We don't think about the other things. We meditate day and night. Psalms 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, stand in the way of the sinner, or sat in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the Lord. Now listen to that. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in the law of the Lord doth he meditate day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, bringing forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall what? Prosper. How many want to be prosperous? Here you getting the formula of it here tonight. Take these scriptures and read them and study them. Read them over and over. Digest them in your experience with God. Mix it with the Word of God and mix it with the Spirit of God, and you'll have a powerful experience with God. Amen. So, except we become as a little child, obedient. Not a big child, a little child. Amen. Verily I say unto you, except a man be converted and become as a little child. Matthew 18:3, Luke 22:32, but I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. Repent ye therefore, is the text, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus. Amen. Sometimes we've had Jesus in here walking up and down the aisle. Couldn't see him, but he's here. Sometimes I've seen chaos walking up and down now. I've seen confusion. When I come here 3 or 4 years ago, I seen nothing but confusion, 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 and confusion. And where there's envy and strife, there is confusion. But envy and strife is not in the mind of the converted Christian. But where envy and strife is, there is confusion. And where confusion is, there's, James says, every evil work, everything begins to set in. We're confusion. Well, I'm confused. Well, somebody said to me one day, said, are you confused? I said, no, I'm not confused. I don't allow that in my mind. I don't allow envy and strife. I don't allow confusion. You're in charge. I just told you the formula. Just say, write down Philippians 4 and 8. Think on these things. Things that's honest, just, pure, good report. It knocks out confusion. It destroys the works of the devil. Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. Now, if Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, what do you think that we're supposed to be doing? Our job is to be destroying the works of the devil. If we're going to do the works of the Lord, we're out there to destroy the works of the devil. Huh? And it's not just in this community. Let me tell you, it's everywhere. Everywhere. Our whole nation. I couldn't believe that there's as much junk in our government as there is. And the things that they vote in, all these things, that's absolutely against what God's Word said. And they say it's all right. Vote it in. Homosexual, that's all right. Murder, abortion, vote that in. Man marry a man, woman marry a woman, that's all right. Where are we headed? What kind of a mess are we headed in? What kind of direction are we headed in? And then comes along the churches, especially the bigger nominal churches. Oh, yeah, it's all right. We get us a homosexual preacher, you know. He's all right. Now, don't you know he's going to preach some good stuff? Don't you know he's going to carry a wonderful spirit? Don't you know his mind is all a mess? Can you imagine a preacher in the pulpit, a homosexual, you know, and there's such a man in there, it's all dressed up, and he's thinking about him as a companion. If I had that man, I just can't figure that out, how anybody can be that way. Can you? But I'm bringing it out clear here tonight. Our mind has got to be changed. And it's not just those kind of things. That's bad. But the little foxes spoil the vine. I want to give you that scripture. Take it and read it every day or two. A Song of Solomon. Write it down on a piece of paper. And the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 15. Take ye the little foxes, for it is the little foxes that spoil the vine. How many knows that sin starts at a little dab? I remember the first drink of whiskey I took. I gagged, vomited. Oh, my Lord, I never tasted nothing as horrible as that. But I kept dabbling with it until I got where I could take a half a pint and kill about half of it. You know how I done that? Started with a little fox, and it got to be a big fox. It got to be a bear. You know, I was preaching one time on David slaying the bear, and David slaying the lion, and David slaying the giant. And I thought like this while I was preaching it. I thought, look at the churches. They can't even destroy the little foxes. And David went out and got the bears and the lions and the giants. How many believes we already get to be lion killers, bear killers, huh? And stomp them little foxes. Just stomp them out of the way. Get little foxes. While every head's bowed and everyone's praying.